Okay, the Mechaber writes in Simen Kuf Pei Dalet Seif Yud Aleph. Isha sheyesh laveth liyamim levad. Vigia shas vesta. Asur lavo aleha ad sheyesh alena. So if a woman has a regular vest and the Shasa vest arrives, then he's not allowed to have Tashmish until he asks her to clarify that she hasn't had a Riyah yet. Then ain la vest, yom lami la Riyah sahavi kigi shas vesta. And if she doesn't have a vest kavua, then an ona beninis has the status of vest kavua in this regard. But if the amount of time elapsed after the vest, during which she could have gone through her Shiva Nikiyim and gone to the mikvah, gone through the whole Tara process, and he didn't ask her, he doesn't have to ask her. So the Gaon points out over here in Sukkot and Kafei, Udaloka Rambam Shematir Bechol Inyan Kanal Ulael Hevidas Rambam. So what the Gaon is pointing out is that the precise formulation of the Mechaber here in Sif Yud Aleph should really be dependent on the din that we encountered in Sif Tes. We discussed in Sif Tes the Machlokas Rishonim, if a woman did not perform a Bidika Bishas Havest, then is it necessary to perform a bidika afterwards, li'ikuva, in order to be matur her labaila? So the position of the Rambam, the stam position in Mechaber, was that shar nashim tzvichos bidika kashigia vest, avar vest v'lo badka v'lo hergisha, tahora v'lo bidika. And the yesh omrim, which we notice who have the Mechaber sosim in kuf peites, is a note that if the shas of vest passed, if she didn't do a bidika, she is asura even bidi evit labaila until such time as she performs a bidika. So the Gaon is pointing out over here that according to the Rambam, if you don't require a bidika liikuva, then you wouldn't need to ask her either. So this din, that asur lavo la ad sheyishalena, is only really true in this form according to the second day in Shulchan Aruch above, not according to the Rambam, and that fits, presumably, with what we noted, that the Mechaber in Kuf Peites is so same like the Yesh Omrim against the Rambam. So here, what the Gaon is pointing out is that it sounds like this is another instance in which the Mechaber is so same against the Rambam, because according to the Rambam, this din of Ad Sheyishalena would not be correct in that context of Eves Kavua La'achar She'avar Yom Havest. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan points out in Sif Mem Vav over here that we're not, the din of Ad Sheyishalena isn't just, at least L'chachila, isn't just Ad Sheyishalena whether she saw Adam, but Ad Sheyishalena if she did the proper bedika. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, I'll pull up on the screen. Here we go. Pashut hu, tzeisha kasa vigia shas vesta, ena kavana al shas vesta mamish. So the first argument he makes is that we're obviously not talking about the shas vest itself. If you ask her biyom havest whether she saw Ria, that's not matir tashmish. Shreafil samach levest aser. So there's an iser b'onus havest, there's a chiv apresha b'onus havest, and Samach Havest as well. What we're talking about is La'achar Havest. La'achar Pirusha, She'avar Shas Vesta, V'ara V'shechav V'seslo, Obel Leha. So in that case, they require this din of She'ela. And then he says, umistama, sorry, vinira, de tov yoser sheyishal mimena im barka b'shas vesta, al kalpanim l'achris man vesta. So it's not enough l'chachila to ask whether she had a re'ia yet, but really you should be asking whether she performed a bedika, because we paskin that without a bedika, she's asura labayla. Anyway, so strictly speaking, the din is to ask whether she saw a dam. Brother HaShel Chan points out that in practice, he really should be asking her as well, or in the same breath, whether she did a bedika, because a bedika is necessary, we paskin li'ikuva, in order to be matir tashmish at that point. The Chabastas in Sifkatan Lamed Beis, which the Piskei Tshuva here references in Sifkatan Kav Zayin. Let's read it in the Piskei Tshuva if you have it in front of you. Afilu hi ara v'shochev es etzlo, mikol makom tzarech dafka sheyishalena v'tozi mipia shehi tahara. It's not sufficient for her to indicate that she is mutares, that she hasn't had her ear yet. Shochev es etzlo is not sufficient. She has to actually articulate that she is tahara. And this comment of the Chavastas is parallel to a Chavastas in the next simon, which let's take a look at now presently, and then we'll discuss the commonality between these two Chavastases and whether one could distinguish between the two of them. The Mechaber writes in Simon Kuf Pei Hei Sif Aleph, Aisha Shehi Becheskas Temeya Aser Lo Lavo Aleha Ad Shetomer Lo Tavalti. So if a woman is Becheskas Temeya, we know that a woman had a Re'ia, we know that she was going through a Tara process. We don't know whether she went to the mikveh yet. So in that case, the husband is not permitted the wife is not permitted to the husband until she tells him that she in fact went to the mikveh. And the Rama adds, "Umi'acha she'avru yamim she'efshar la limnos v'litbol nemenas afilu ro begedem u'luchlacha medam nemenas lomer b'shuk tabacha mavarti onas asakti b'tzivir v'chadomu l'zeh," that even if she's wearing bloodied clothing, if enough time elapsed that she could have gone through the Tara process, then she has Ne'amanis to represent that. Okay, but the basis of this halacha here in the Mechaber, the beginning of Simen Kuf Pehe, the fact that a woman is Becheskas Temeya and requires some active articulation to remove her from the Cheskas Tuma, so that's based on Gemara's in the first parak. The Aruch HaShulchan just gives us the following background. In the beginning of Kuf Pehe, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, HaTorah Hamino L'chol Isha Yisraelis Al Nidusa V'Al Tarasa V'Kach Darshu Chazal B'Ksubis V'Nai L'Nida She'Seferis Li'Atzma Shenemar V'Safrala L'Li'Atzma K'lamar She'Einat Tzvicha Eidem B'Zeh. Now we know that women have Ne'amanus to represent her own count and her own Tara process. V'zeo L'fi Adinim She'Nizbar B'Zeh Min Kuf Kav Zayin B'Inyan Ne'amanus B'Yisurim D'Dar V'She'ein Ba'Lo Cheskas Isra V'Lo Cheskas Heter Kigon Chasicha Savi Shel Chela Savi Shel Shuman Naman Ein Echad V'Dar V'Dizchazik Yisura Naman. So the general principle is that Eid Echad and Bisurin, that's the Tosan, that Bezen Gittin, that Besafrala is the source for Eid Echad and Bisurin. And even if something is Yitzchazik Yisura, but if it's Biyado, if you have the ability to affect, to change the status and remove it from the Cheskas Isur to Cheskas Heter, then you have Ne'amanus to make the representation that you did that. Achanami, Kainu, the Afagavdi Tmeya, Mikol Makom, Lo Mikri, Yitzchazik Yisura. So you would have said perhaps that this is a classic case of Yitzchazik Yisura, and therefore a woman would not automatically have Ne'amanus, but it's not classic Yitzchazik Yisura because the dam is not going to go on forever, and the Tara process is normal in that situation. So if that's the case of Yitzchazik Yisura, it's Yitzchazik Yisura which is biyada, and as long as it's biyada, she has ne'amanus. That's why the Torah affords ne'amanus to women to represent that she has gone through the Tara process and is now tahora and mutaris labayla. But the din is that she needs to articulate that. And that's the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis, that a woman is presumed to be Becheskas Tuma until she says Tahorani. So here as well, the Piskei Shuva in Sivkat and Aleph, of course, in the Chavis Das, Afilu Shochavis Etzlo Lamahani Ashitomer Lo Beferish Tavalti. So it sounds like the same exact comment of the Chavis Das that we saw in Kuf Pei Dalid, he makes here in Kuf Pei Hei as well, that the requirement that a woman represents, that she has gone through the Tahor process, went to the mikvah, and is now in Beteres Labayla, requires an articulation, and it's not sufficient to just indicate, to do some kind of action that shows that she went to the mikvah and is muteres labayla. Okay, so that is the Chavis Das here in Kuf Pei Hei. And a number of Achronim take issue with that psak of the Chavis Das. So since we're on a roll today with Aruch HaShulchans, let's just take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan in the beginning of Kuf Pei Hei, Sif Dalet. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, V'yayrali, D'lav dafka b'omeris b'fiyah tavalti. That no, it's not necessary for the woman to articulate that she went to the mikvah. So even if she does something that indicates that she went to the mikvah, she passes something to him. So you do something that otherwise would be a violation of our chakos. Damira Makeves, Dafila Babishabitas Lamahani, that's the Chavis Das. Loya Dati Lama, why should that be true? Atuha Mira Makeves, Lo Ikarakla Das, Imnitara, Ukishima Meseslo, Dayo. That the point is, you need to have firm knowledge that she went to the mikvah. So as long as she does something to indicate that, why does it have to be articulated? And it's embarrassing that the woman should have to say the pamali that she went to the mikvah. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that this is not the Chavis Das's chumrah is not required. Now the Chavis Das said that he had the raya from Tosfos, but he doesn't tell us what Tosfos he's referring to. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Ayin Sham Shekasav Sheken Muchach Mi Tosfos. Lobir me'ezem makam. He doesn't say what tosos. V'nir kavanoso mitosos yid alef amibayz diber maskel tanya shakasvu debehinicha becheskas temeya afilu ara temeya ashitomer tahorani akal neshano. So there we're talking about a case where a husband goes away on a trip, and when he left home, the woman, his wife, was temeya. So she is presumed to be Tameya until she says otherwise. The Ein Sham Raya, Ishum Raya, he said, the Vaday, who's Asilo Likarov Eleha, Afkashi Ara, the Ein Lismach Al Shtikasa, the Vaday Tameya. Alakishi Maschel, Sasatabra, Simen, Mitarasan, Ein Amirasa, Makeva. So the context of Tosa is there. Is that he knew that his wife is Tameya. He went on a business trip and he came home. So he's not allowed to be with her unless he establishes that she went to the mikvah. So there, she's not doing any action to indicate she went to the mikvah. She's still. But if she's going to do an action to indicate that she went to the mikvah, so then maybe Tosfos could well agree that that is sufficient. So he doesn't think you have a raya from Tosfos that that Amira is absolutely necessary. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan bottom line argues with the Chavis Das. Rav Schechter in his Ha'aros on the Rabbi Sobolevsky book writes as well, he doesn't think it's necessary to have this chumrah that the woman needs to articulate b'peh as long as she does something to indicate that she went to the mikvah. So even though these two Chavis Dases, the Chavis Das and Kuf Pei Dalet, in the context of a woman who passed her vest, and the husband needs to ask whether she didn't have a ru'iyah yet, slash did bedikos. And the Chavos Tavos here in Kuf Pei Hei, that a husband needs to establish through his wife's representation that she went to the mikvah after he knows that she was Tameya. It sounds like these two Chavos Tavos are saying the same thing in two different contexts. The Baal Yis Shulchan suggests in Kuf Pei Dalet, in the Beyurim, that no, it could be that even if you'll accept the Aruch HaShulchan's argument on the Chavos Tavos in Kuf Pei Hei, it could be you could still agree with the Chavos Tavos in Kuf Pei Dalet. The reason being that in Kuf Pei Hei, we're talking about a woman who went through the whole Tara process. She's been asura to her husband for at least 12 days, depending on how long her Tara process is, a minimum of 12 days. And during those 12 days, it was clear to husband and wife that she's totally asura to him. There are chakos, she's definitely asura lebaila. So now, once she gets home from the mikvah and she does something to indicate that she is tahora, no one's going to make any erroneous conclusions. However, that's not the case in Kuf Pei Dalet. Kuf Pei Dalet, we're talking about a woman who is still mutaris labayla. She just passed an onas avest. An onas avest is not a very dramatic event, and it could be people aren't necessarily aware of the scope of the chiyuv bedikos for a woman who passes her onas avest. So unless you clarify explicitly that a bedika was done and that the woman didn't see dam, then you can't necessarily rely on the fact that she's shocheves etzlo to prove that. There's a much harder stop when you go through a Tara process. So then everyone is aware of the iser and the requirement to change that status. So if a woman indicates that she's Tara, that's sufficient. But could be everyone would agree that as far as the requirement of she'ela, once you pass the onus of es to establish that she did bedikos, maybe that is to be articulated bepeh. And Rabbi Forsheimer say for the pre-Tara, in the Beyurim, he says slightly different, but the variation, the same theme, that when it comes to a Nida who goes to the mikvah, so she was already used to archakos for a long time, for at least the last 12 days, as opposed to a woman who just passed the onus of est, where there's nothing to indicate any change in status. So then you need a clear articulation to confirm that she's still mutaris and she did the requisite bedikos slash didn't have any potential re'iyah in the interim. Rav Osner, though, takes it in the other direction. He says, no, if you're going to be mekel against a Chavos Tavos in Kuf Pei Hei, then you should be mekel kol shekein in Kuf Pei Dalet. The case of Kuf Pei Hei is where a woman was vadei rasa. She was tameya. She just went through a whole Tara process. So she was definitely a asura labayla. And now she comes home for the mikvah. So if you're going to tell me that she doesn't have to articulate her Tara status in that case, then kol shekein, she shouldn't have to articulate it where it's only a safek ria, where you pass the onus of es, but there's no firm knowledge that she had any ria to begin with. Okay. Now, Rabbi Karp says that maybe even the Chavos Tavos would agree that if a husband knows that his wife went to the mikvah, then it's not necessary for her to articulate bepeh that she went there. If the husband doesn't know where his wife's been, he gets home from a day at work, and he sees his wife, maybe she went to the mikvah, maybe she didn't go to the mikvah, then the Chavos Tavos would say she has to articulate it. But if he knows where she went and knows that she came back, so that's enough of a raglayim l'davar to establish that she went to the mikvah. So if she does anything to indicate that she is tahora, that would be sufficient. And the way he says, you don't have to be concerned of maybe Yisra Albisha, and so we know in context that she definitely went to the mikvah. There's a similar point in the Debre Tziner, Chuvas Ber Moshe Chelek Dalid Simen Nun Ches. He writes that he was asked by a number of people that they know that their wives did all the achanos to go to the mikvah, and they come home. So, do they really have to articulate that they went to the mikvah? That some of them expressed that if they're going to ask their wife to articulate, they're going to get angry. They're going to think that, oh, you don't trust me. You don't trust me that I went to the mikvah when I said I was going. So he says, Al Pidina de Gemara, he thinks that the woman has to articulate it, and you shouldn't look for coolness against what it says in the Gemara. However, the quote of Chavis Das, and he says, he heard from a certain Mora Hora that in the time of Chazal, the mikvahs were cold and it wasn't so comfortable to go to the mikvah. So then the woman had to say Tavalti because maybe she tried to take some shortcuts. But nowadays, where there's no tircha, there's no pachad, there's no reason to suspect that woman would go to the mikvah. So then you don't require the same level of articulation. So he says, how could you dare say such a thing? Eich lavash ba'atzmo, oh, the person should have the gall to paskin against what the Gemara sounds like without any raya based on this conjecture. So that is totally wrong. But he acknowledges that if the husband goes with his wife to the mikvah, he drops her off at the mikvah and picks her up, which is generally not a good idea for other reasons. So then you don't have to be choshesh that she didn't go to the mikvah. So that's along the lines of what Rabbi Karp said, a little bit... Rabbi Karp writes that even as long as you know that that's where she was going, you don't have to worry that she didn't go there. The bottom line, there is what to be makel about against the Chavis Das, but at the same time, it's a relatively low stakes chumra that that doesn't take much. But the concern that a woman's going to be embarrassed if she knows that that's the din, and this is just the formula that's required. So it's kind of a low-stakes chumrah to be machmer of the Chavis Das. A low-expenditure chumrah. Yeah, Usher.
Do we talk about any other Raglayim Davar aspects being relevant? Like, if the wife's hair is wet, would that be enough to rely on?
If you're going to assume that there's no need for an Amir, there's no need for Amir regardless. If you do require an Amir like the Chavis Das, so it sounds like that's an absolute requirement regardless, unless you say, like Rabbi Karp's suggestion, that if you know that that's where she was going, then that's enough. So if you know that's where she was going and she had wet hair, then that's no worse than knowing where she's going anyway. If not, then she could have taken a shower and had wet hair from that also. But again, it seems like a relatively low expenditure chumrah. If you're going to be machmir the Chavis Das, it doesn't require that much effort. But again, as we said, Rav Shechter didn't think that is absolutely necessary. Like the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay. The Mechaber then writes in Sif Gimel, I will read the base first. Im huchzaka nida b'shcheino seha she ra'ua loveshes begadim amyuchadim limei nidusa chashiva kivadei tmeya. So if a woman, as used to be the practice, at least at the time that people were makbid on taros, that a woman wore special nida garments so people would be aware that she is tmeya, so that status of huchzaka nida b'shcheino seha creates a cheskas tuma and requires establishing that cheskas tuma was removed in order to be a matur. Then the Mechaber writes in Sif Gimel, Amr labayla tumei ani v'achar kach amra taharani eina nemenes. So if a woman originally says to her husband that she's tmeya, and then she says, no, I'm really tahora, she has no ne'amanos. That's in the Pesha Asu Sugis in the beginning of Ksubas. Im Hulachar Kadeidibur, says the Rama. However, Vinasna Masla Dvaraha, Kigon Shomeres, Shalo Amrlo, Kain Tchil El, Vene Shalohaya Bakoach, Lispal Tashmish, Otaina Cheres, Kayosibes and Amanus. So there is a possibility under such circumstances that an Amasla could be acceptable. Under the default is that if a woman says she is Tamea, then she has no Namanus to recant that claim. However, if there's a legitimate Amasla, then we may give credence to that. To that amasa. So, for example, the Shach writes here in Sifkat and Gimel, Kayotze Baseh, Loshen Rambam, Kigon Shetava Baila, V'Yalchoso, O Imo Ima, V'Chatzer, V'Yamr Tameyani, V'Acher Kachozor, V'Yamr Torani, V'Lamarti L'cha Tameyani, El B'nei Achoska V'Imcha, Shelo Yiro Sanu, Arezen Amenes. So, they're in public, and the husband prepositions his wife in public in a way that would be embarrassing. So she says, Tameyani. But then when they get home, she says, no, I was just saying that because it was embarrassing in public. But in reality, I'm Tahora. That's a case of an Amasla where she would have Ne'amanus. Fine. And then he quotes the second example of an Amasla. Savura Hayisi Lios Nida. Another case of the Masa is a woman legitimately saw Dam. So she alerted her husband to the fact that she saw Dam. And then upon further examination, it turns out that it's Dam Tahor, not Dam Tame, that is Dam Maka. It's something that doesn't render her Tame. So that's another a legitimate Masla where a woman in context is believed to say that her original representation was based on a false set of facts. Okay. The Tor quotes in the Ramban that even an Amasa will not help by Huchzaka Nida Bishkenoseha. That if it's Huchzaka Nida Bishkenoseha, that creates a stronger Cheskas Tuma than her simple representation to her husband. If she just says to her husband, Tumeani, so then the threshold to uproot that status, that chazaka, is lower than if she's huchzaka nida b'shkenoseha. That creates a stronger chazaka where there's a public a reality, a public knowledge that she is b'cheskas tuma. Again, the Torah quotes that from the Ramban. Excuse me. The Magia on the Torah says that there's no such Ramban in our Rambans. The Shilte HaGiborim in the Sugya there in Ksubas, Tesam and Beis B'Dap Erif, quotes this from the Rambam, and it's also not in our Rambams. So the two strikes so far, it's not in the Ramban, not in the Rambam. However, it is in the Rashba. Okay, so where do they get the Rambam Ramban from? So the Magi on the Torah suggests maybe that's because the Rambam and the Ramban only quoted the Nebna Masla in the context of Tameyani, in the context of her representation to her husband, not in any other context. So maybe they understood that the Rambam, the Ramban, don't extend the din of Amasla to Huchzaka Nida Bishkenosa, but it's not beferish that way in the Rambam. It is, however, beferish in the Rashba, in the Torah Sabayis, Chasam and Aleph, that Amasla will not help if it's Huchzaka Nida Bishkenosa. So the Torah asks on what he quotes in the Ramban, but minimally it's the Rashba, whoever the Baal Shita is, the Torah asks on that Shita in the Rishonim, why would you distinguish between Tmeya Ani Labayla and Huchzaka Nida Bishchenosa? So Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba himself in the Torah Sabayis Aruch Chesamad Aleph, that the Rashba writes, when it comes to Boshes, a woman's embarrassed or some kind of an onus situation. So a woman may say Tmeyani to her husband because of the context of boshes or some kind of onus situation. But to go to the length of wearing Bigdei Nida, for that a woman wouldn't do, even if it's to avoid an embarrassing situation. So there's a much higher threshold to uproot a chazaka of Huchzaka Nida B'Shkenosa because the effort that is involved to create that chazaka is stronger than simply a representation to the woman's husband. Okay. The Taz says something a little bit different. The Taz in Sifkat and Beis. So he quotes this tour. He quotes the Rashba. He writes, "Matasi kasa b'shem Riblei mi Prag, deshani huksak anida b'shein aseha, delav kuli alma yadi min hamasla." That huksak anida b'shein aseha is different because there, not everyone's going to know about the amasla. V'mkein alma samcha kishechzika atzma nega kuli alma. So if a woman says to her husband, Tameani, but she's only doing it because she's embarrassed, like the case where they're out in public. So then the woman knows that she's saying it then because of a certain embarrassing context, and she's going to go home and correct the record as soon as she's able. So there, that amasla has legitimacy. But if a woman is going outside in public in a big day nidos, so she knows that there's no way that she could possibly inform everybody that's going to see her in the street at some later point that it was really a ruse and she really was tahor the whole time. So because you have the knowledge from the get-go that what you're doing and wearing big day nidos in public is something that can't be easily corrected, the record can't be changed, so then you're not going to do that unless it's absolutely correct, and the amasla is not going to help. So the Taz thinks that that is a correct svara, why amasla won't help if it's huksak anida b'shcheinosa. And the Taras HaShlamim, here in Sifkat and Beis, Sifkat and Gimel, argues, he says, even though the lashon lemechaber is amr lebaila tmeani v'achakach amr tahorani v'imdas amasa, etc. So the din of amasa in Shulchan Aruch is only in the context of her representation to her husband, and not if it's huksak anida b'shcheinosa, based on the Rashba and others. Says the Taz HaShlamim, nope, that's lav dafka. Nira de lav dafka naka labayla. Ela shadavr diber behove. She'emi darach tzniyas lagalos tamasa v'tarasa ela labayla. But even if it's a broader representation, Hamas will still help. And he says that is against the Taz that we just read.
Either way, aren't we talking about a situation where she can make it known to everyone, give the amasla to everyone? In which case, obviously, she might be willing to give an amasla later.
Again, you're saying that the Taras HaShlamim is only matir and amasla v'huksak anida b'shcheinosa if or barabim if you're able to correct the record to everyone on the rabbim?
Because he's saying you can... Who else would you be giving her masla to? Just her husband? And then everyone else thinks. She's a sura?
So look at how the Piskei Tshuva refers to this machlok in Sifkat and Gimel. Aymer heite b'shem Taz, dim amra b'fnei rabim lo mahani amasla, v'aymer Taras HaShlam shecholok el sevakasa dafilo amra b'fnei rabim mahani amasla, v'kakasa v'kresi plesi, ayin Taz shekasa b'isha shegida amasla kodem shesika atzma b'lishas b'dei nidos mahani. So you're saying No, all the Tosafot Shlomo means to argue with is that you could have an amasla that works if it's if the woman said Tamei Ani to Rabbim, but you still would require that all the Rabbim who are aware of it are aware of the amasla.
In which case, the other opinion would also agree you could give an amasla to the Rabbim.
Well, the Tosafot Shlomo is clearly saying that he argues on the Tas, right?
Yeah, but I'm asking why. They both would only agree it's you can give an amasla when you can give an amasla to everyone who she said she was talking to that. She said she was talking to.
Yeah, okay, I hear what you're asking. But I'm not sure. I mean, the Torah Shalom references the Shuvah Sarama, which the Taz quotes, so we'll get to in a moment. So, in that Shuvah Sarama, right, there's no way that you're going to be able to correct the record to everyone out in public, right? A woman's worried about Ayin Hara, so she doesn't want anyone to know that she's pregnant. So she pretends that she's a Sur Labayla. Right, so you're going to say that you'll be able to correct the record to everyone in public who was under that impression? Yossi?
But what's the Makel opinion saying that says you can do it with you can do it with a Rabbim?
So the Tosafot Shlomo is saying that even if that an amasla is effective even if you represented something the rabbin.
Who are you giving the amasla to? You're making sure everyone who found out gets the amasla? Or it doesn't need to get to everyone and it's just the fact that she said it that way makes an amasla not effective?
I don't know. Not having thought about it as carefully, my assumption with Tosafot Shlomo was that you stand in front of a rabbin, and then you make an amasa declaration in front of that rabbin, but there may still be people who were present at the original declaration who aren't there at the subsequent declaration.
What exactly are you worried about? That there's a chazaka with each individual person? That how's the amasa solving it?
So in general, in the case where a masa works, that which created the cheskas tuma can be walked back, because a chazaka that is created under false pretenses made out of the status of a chazaka. So you establish that there are false pretenses, and that that kind of rescinds or eliminates the chazaka that otherwise had been created. So the question is that any different if it's Huchzuka Nida B'Shchein Osaha? If the Chazaka is created in the presence of more people, and does that create a stronger Chazaka? So in the way the Rashba formulates it, it sounds like it's not so much the number of people that is the critical point of distinction. It's the effort, that the strength of the chazaka as reflecting the effort gone on the part of the woman, gone through on the part of the woman. If the woman is just representing something, the Bible, that's a minimal effort. So easy come, easy go. But if she went through the pains of wearing big day needs in public, so then that's a stronger action on her part, and you can't easily abrogate that. Or you can't easily mitigate that. But that's what the Rashba says. But then the Taz quotes a different judgment from the Reb Leimi Prague, that no, it's not a function of the lengths that the women went to. It's a function of who heard the original message and who's going to hear the new message. So that sounds like we're audience driven, that the chazaka is somehow created by the knowledge on the part of people, and even if you disabuse some people of the misimpression, if others still have it, that still creates certain facts on the ground about the chazaka. But I still hear your point. I think we could think about it a little bit more. Okay, so then the Taz goes on and references the Maisa that's quoted in the Tshuva Sarama Simon Beis. In the fancy Shulchan Aruch that I have, they reprinted, actually, I think it's in the standard Shulchan Aruch too. They reprinted the Shuva Sarama in the margin of the Shulchan Aruch. But let's just read a little bit of it from the Taz. Ma'isa b'isha achas she'yalda shalash pa'amim b'chodesh hashmini v'chashasha sh'ayin hara gorim la. So a woman gave birth early three times, and she's worried that was because of some ayin hara. The rest of the hastari bura mibne besa vishkenosa. And in order to avoid ayin hara, she wanted to hide the fact that she's pregnant from her neighbors. The hiskan baila shetamer tamayani betchila sibura yede la hastari bura. And her husband was willing to go along with the plan to pretend that she was a suelo, that she was still having her regular rias, and therefore no one would suspect that the woman was pregnant. Menisha Rama and Baila Mutter Lavala Besaiser, Beisha Laheter. Beherech Bazeb Inyan Nistina Samasa Behuxaka Nida Bishkenosa. So even though this was a case of, classic case of Huxaka Nida Bishkenosa, where generally speaking, Amasa doesn't work, under these circumstances, the Rama was Matir, the woman, Le Baila. One of the arguments the Rama makes is that Huchzaka Nida B'Shchein Oseha, the Lashon HaGemara in Ksubis, is that the husband is Loka. Why does it say Dafka, the husband is Loka and not the wife? Because the wife knows the truth. So if Lamaisa she's Muteres, then she's not going to get Malkus. But the husband doesn't know the truth is Loka, because based on the information he has, she's a sewer to him. But here, he knows the truth as well, so he can't be liable in this case, and she remains Muteres Labaila. Then the Ramah is Dochadet, and the Ramah attempts to bring a riot from Yitzchak Avinu, that this kind of a masa works from Yitzchak and Avimelech, that even though Yitzchak had represented that Rivka was a sewer to him to Avimelech, but still they didn't act that way. So the Ramah thinks that's a parallel kind of an amasla in this situation where the husband is in on the plan from the beginning. And then he has a raya from the Rashba that the Beis Yosef quotes that maybe amasla will work, even Huxaka Nidah B'Shchinasah, where there's no other choice, where there's a compelling reason to put on the show the way they did. The Taz doesn't think that this even rises to the level of Huxaka Nidah B'Shchinasah. I mean, the Ramah is pilpuling, is there a way out of Huxaka Nidah B'Shchinasah? And the Taz thinks that you don't have to even come on to that. Lefina is Daiti Nira. Then in this case, the woman explicitly told the husband before she was huksaka as tamea what the facts were. In general, the reason Huxaka Nidah B'Shchinasah is because a woman wouldn't go to such lengths to misrepresent her status if it wasn't really one of Tuma. In this case, we understand why she went to such lengths, because that was all established Meirosh. The Dabar said, Doma Lamoser Modal Get Umasna, the Alpha Gav the Osa Maisa Godol, Acherka Hafilochi, Kevin Shagila Daito Tchila, Shaloya Mamish Bemaisa, Sheaz Acherka. Well, Zina Basar Maisa, that if you're Megaladas ahead of time, if you're Moser Mada ahead of time, that the get isn't going to be valid, even if you go through a get, but the Mesiris Mada the initial Mesiris Mada is Megala, that the get isn't going to be Chal. So here too, you explained ahead of time what your motivation is, but that's not a classic case of Huxak Nida B'Shchinasah. And the Kudas HaKesef, the Shach, is just Masig, that he thinks the Taz went too far. He's a Galchubas Ramah B'chinam, the Dabar Pasha, the Ramah Rosa Liashev, Afilo Yada Habal, Afilo Yada Baal Shari. The Taz is coming to say, no, this isn't Huxaka Nidah B'Shchinasah because the husband was in on it from the beginning. The Shach says, no, the Ramah is trying to explain how you can be Masri even if the husband wasn't in on it from the beginning, even if the husband wasn't part of the plan. And still, there are ways out of the Huxaka Nidah B'Shchinasah concern. Okay. Then the Ramah goes on in Sif Gimel. Mikol Mokom, Misha Rotsa Lahachmir Al-Atma Shalol Lahamin Lamidus Chasidusu. Even where an Amasla is acceptable, if the husband wants to be Machmir, not to accept the Amasla, that's a Midus Chasidus. Aval midina ne'menes afilu b'shaska acher kach rakshi ba v'shachaves etzel baila v'yodeya makir shemash amr t'chilat me'ani asa machmat katata shayelo ima nechadom elazem. But technically speaking, an amasa doesn't even have to be articulated. That if in context the husband understands through the actions of his wife that she was really tired the whole time, then she doesn't even have to articulate the amasla to become Muteres Labaila. So if you have an Amasla, that is clear, the woman is Nemanis, even Bishisika, if she is Shocheves Eitzel Baila. The Shach does say that in the case of Shocheves Eitzel Baila, Shach Sukat and Dalid, Mikamakam near the Balchai Lishalasa, Lami Bazlo, Hare Amra Ilav Timeani, the Tsarklothiamasamipia. That no, the Shach thinks that in that case she actually does have to articulate the Amasla. And he thinks that the Rama would agree to that. And that's what the Chavos Das assumes, even though the Taras HaShlamim argues and thinks that the Mashmos of the Rama is that no, there isn't a need for an articulation at all. Again, the Chavos Das, presumably Lishitaso above, that all these situations where you require a representation that she is Tahora, that is to be articulated. Okay. The Rama concludes, Amr Ploni Chacham Tirli Kesem Chacham Amr Shim Meshakeres Chacham Nema Mitmeya. If the wife claims that I went to Rabbi so-and-so and he was Matir Kesem and Rabbi so-and-so denies it, then Rabbi so-and-so is believed. But the Taz and Sivkatan Gimel, the Shach and Sivkatan Vav, say that if it's someone else who's representing the name of that rabbi, then that other person who's a second-hand source of information has no Nemanos to be Machish the woman. Okay. Yeah, Usher.
Would the same be true for a man? Like say a man brings a Mara to their Rav, he comes home and says, the Rav told me the Mara was good. And then later on, the wife talks to the Rav who says, no, the Mara was Tamea. Would we also believe the Rav over the husband?
And the husband says that he showed a Mara to the rabbi and the rabbi said it's Tahar and the rabbi denies it?
Right.
Presumably, I mean, the reason that the reason the Shach and the Taz say in the case where it's a second-hand representation, so that's AMEPA. So AMEPA is of lesser credence than the Baal Davar himself. But I don't believe there should be a difference if it's the wife representing or the husband representing. If the rabbi himself denies the tzak that he gave, then he would have nemanos against either the husband or the wife, I presume. Okay, so let's just talk for a few minutes about Simon Kuf Pei Vav, the requirement of bidikos kodem al acher tashmish for a vest she'eino kavua. So previously, we discussed the requirement of bidikos for a vest kavua, and that's what's discussed here in Sif Aleph. What about a vest she'eino kavua? So the Gemara on the end of the first parak So the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis establishes the need for women to perform bedikos in the context of taras. At a time that people are makrid on tumah v'tara, then a woman needs to perform constant bedikos when she's asuka b'taras to establish that she is still tahora and can touch taras. And then we saw previously the Gemara on the top of Yud Beis Amid Aleph, the shayla of isha marisha tivdok atzma labayla, that whether a woman can or should perform bedikos kodem tashmish. Not Bishas Avest, Libanok for Perish. So that we discussed in Machlokas Rabbim, other we've shown him what is the requirement of Bidikas Kodem Tashmish for a woman has the best kavua. And then the Gemara on Yudbeis Amudbeis has a memra of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos of Mishameshes Bishnei Edim, that a woman has to use two B'dika cloths, Hain Ivsua, Hain Tiknua. And then the Gemara is a back and forth, and the final line of the Perek is Manda Masni Ha, Lo Masni Ha. So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. How do we understand Manda Masni Ha, Lo Masni Ha, and what is the Maskanas of Gemara as far as the requirement of B'dikas for a woman that doesn't have a Ves Kavua? So Rashi understands over here at the end of the first Perek, Manda Masni Ha, Lo Masni Ha, that if a woman does not have a Ves Kavua, then she only requires B'dikas in the context of Tahara. So if she's Asuka B'taros, then she requires B'dikas. But there's no requirement of B'dikas Kodim or La'akhir Tashmish, Shalom B'shas HaVest, if a woman does not have a vest Kavua. That's how Rashi understands the Maskanas of Gemara here. And that's the position of many Rishonim, the Rashbam and the Ri and the Gos Maimonios, Sefer Truma, Smag. So many Rishonim hold like this, that the whole discussion of B'dikas Kodim La'akhir Tashmish, if a woman does not have a Ves Kavua, is only relevant to Tyrus, even though maybe you would have be concerned that if a woman has a Ves Kavua, we know when to expect her that she's going to see Dom. If she has a Ves Sheina Kavua, so we never know when she's going to see Dom, maybe we should always be concerned. So the Gemara says, no, that's only, you have to always be concerned for Tyrus, but not only Indian Isser Labaila, and therefore there's no requirement of B'dikos Kodim L'Akhir Tashmish if a woman has a Ves She'eno Kavua. The Rush here quotes the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, which the Rush says you have to be choshish for. Rabbeinu Chananel paskins like this Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos in the context of Baila. And therefore, a woman who has no Ves Kavua must always perform B'dikos Kodem Ula Achar Tashmish. So as long as a woman has a Ves Sheina Kavua, anytime she has Tashmish, she must perform a B'dikos at that time. Okay. And then you have the position of the Ran in Shavuos and the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis Aruch Zayin Amibayis, the way they understand the Riffing Subas, the Riffing Subas Samach Amibayis, that if a woman does not have a Ves Kavua, she doesn't require B'dikos all the time her whole life, the way Rabbeinu Chananel has it, but she also does it not require B'dikos like Rashi. But there's a middle position that she requires B'dikos three times in order to establish that she's not Roa Machmas Tashmish. There's another consideration here, not just to establish that we're not worried the woman's going to see Dam unexpectedly, but you have to establish that she's not Roa Machmas Tashmish, which could answer her to her husband. And that's shot in this memra of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos of Mishameshes B'shnei Edim Hein Ivsua Hein Tiknua. Hein Ivsua, they're going to mess her up, meaning it's possible that if she's going to find Dom, then she's going to establish that she's Rav Machmas Tashmish and she's going to be Asura Labayla. And Hein Tiknua, if she doesn't find Dom, then she'll be Masik herself, that she doesn't have to be Choshesh, and she'll be home free and not require subsequent B'dikos at the time, not require subsequent B'dikos when she has Tashmish going forward. Now, in that context, what do B'dikos Kodem Tashmish establish? If the concern is that we have to establish that she's not Roa Machmas Tashmish, so I understand that you perform B'dikos Achar Tashmish to establish that she was a Roa Machmas Tashmish. But why do you need B'dikas Kodem Tashmish? What's that going to help? So the Ramban, the Milchamus, understands that the B'dikas Kodem Tashmish are to her benefit. That if a woman only did B'dikas Arka Tashmish and finds Dam, then she's going to be concerned that she's Roa Machmas Tashmish. But maybe that's not a fair representation. Maybe there's really Dam there before Tashmish, in which case she's not Roa Machmas Tashmish, she's not going to be a Sula Baila. So we do B'dikas Kodem Tashmish as well, to protect her, that if she's actually seen dam, if there's some dam there before Tashmish, that'll come out, and we won't end up falsely be maxing her as Roa Machmas Tashmish. Okay. So how do we paskin in this Machlokas Rishonim? So Mechaber writes, Kuf Pei Vav Se'if Beis, Im Ein Loves Kavua, Shalosh Pa'amim HaRishonim, Tzrichin Livdo Kodim Tashmish, V'Acher Tashmish. So if a woman does not have a Ves Kavua, then she has to do B'dikos the first three times, Kodim V'Acher Tashmish, Hu Beit Shalav, Hi Beit Shalav, Im Hoksaka Ba'osan Givim Panimish, Ena Ro Adam Achmas Tashmish, But if she does not have any problem during those bidikos, they don't yield anything, then she's home free and does not require bidikos kodim lachar tashmish going forward. Well, a Rama Varash calls manch ela ves richa hi bidika la olam kodim tashmish achar tashmish, but Rama master shigamabal yivdok atzmo achar tashmish. So the position of the mechaber, the stam of the mechaber, is like the Ran and the Rash Vidas Arif, that a woman needs to establish that she's not Ro Machmas Tashmish with three sets of bedikos Kodim Larka Tashmish. Once she establishes that, then she is home free. And the Shach is a Marach here to demonstrate that the Iker is like Rashi, and he thinks that's actually what the Rif holds as well. That if a woman doesn't have a vest, kavua, she doesn't require bidikos at all, not kodim tashmish, not l'achar tashmish, she doesn't have to be masked herself three times. That's the shach. So the minhaga olam is to be machmer like the mechaber, the middle position, the chomer, not like the ram or the rush, to be machmer like the mechaber to require three bidikos. From the get-go to establish that a woman's not Roa Machmas Tashmish, and the Minaganari Yeshiva is like the Shach, that we don't require Bidikos at the beginning to establish that a woman is not Roa Machmas Tashmish, which is why we don't spend as much time on this Siman. Now, the Mechaber raises another issue, that if you are going to be Machmir, as the Mechaber says, to have three bedikos initially, kodim lachar tashmish, to establish that a woman is not roa machmas tashmish, you have to contend with another calculation. The Mechaber writes, isha she'eina roa b'pachas miyudalid yamim achar tfilasa, aval achar yudalid yamim ein la keva ad yudalid yom dina kedin isha she'ez levest. So the Tumas Hadeshen has a vest shlili, a negative vest, that a woman doesn't have a ves kavua, but she also knows that she never sees dam within a 14-day haflaga from her last ria, or a 21-day haflaga from her last ria. So a woman only will see dam in a range, let's say a woman will only see dam in a range between 25 and 30 days since the last ria, but she'll never see dam within 25 days of the last ria. So in that case, during the first 25 days since the last Ria, the woman is considered to have a ves kavua, not to see dam during that time. So says the Chasam Sofer, that according to the Trumas Hadeshen that the Mechaber quotes, it only helps to do these bedikos to be masik a woman as Enero Machmas Hashmish if you're going to do bedikos during that range of time where she has the possibility of seeing dam. The whole concern, or at least part of the concern, is that we're talking about a woman as a ves she'eino kavua. The ves she'eino kavua, it's unpredictable when she's going to see dam. In order to establish that she's not going to see dam, it's only a legitimate test if you're going to do the bedikos during the window of time where she conceivably could see dam. So if she has a ves shlili and she never sees dam within the first 25 days since the last ria, these bedikos would have to be performed after those first 25 days, after 25 days from the last Ria, and any bidika performed within the first 25 days would have no relevance in the count of the Gimel Bidikos that the Mechaber requires over here. Okay. Fine. So we'll stop here for today. And next time, we may have a couple outstanding ha'aris just to tie up some loose ends, but we'll basically, we'll be moving on to Siman Kuf Pei Tes and the big Siman of Vestos. Okay? Looking at the calendar, if we're going to go through the end of June, it looks like including this week, we have 6 more weeks of Shiur. Okay.
Okay.